Okay, we'll go ahead and start. I'll take roll call here. Looks like all the board members are in attendance. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. Second.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Public comments. Any public comments?
We have one from Anona Oscra.
Okay, that's from the
Claire. Yeah, I'm on my mom's computer. Sorry about that. My name's Hunter. Gaska?
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for letting me in the meeting. I just had one general concern. I called up the Mountain of Progress. I spoke to Vicky, and she actually recommended I come here to meet with you guys. So the story is I try to do my part with recycling, and I try to clean up the desert when I can. And I separate, like, cardboard and plastic bottles and stuff that you wouldn't usually get, like CRV, you know, stuff that would just usually go in the landfill. So it was my understanding that when you go to the feline transfer station that they are supposed to recycle that. There's a bunch of roll-off containers that are appropriately marked. They have one for cardboard. They have one for tires. They have one for mixed – it's called mixed recyclables. And I went there on last Friday, and I had my truck. I had – it's a big cage full of plastic bottles that I've stored over a few months. You know, it's – like old gas containers, oil containers, stuff like that. And I asked the guy, why is the roll-off shut? And he said, he gave me, oh, it's full. We can't take it. So I said, darn, okay. Well, I'm watching him hook up the truck. Thank you. And he proceeds to drive 50 feet and dump the mixed recyclables container into the general refuge, you know, the steel building. Has anyone been there? Where they've seen how it is, they got a big open steel building where people dump the general trash, and then I guess Athens Services takes it to the general landfill in Victorville. So he proceeds to just dump it in there. And I asked him, why are you doing that? Aren't we supposed to be recycling all of this? Because it wasn't general trash. It was people are working hard to separate this stuff. And his reasoning to me was, oh, it's because people put trash in there.
Did you bring yours home?
I didn't say anything to him. I just thought I was being maybe blown off. I just wanted to bring that to our attention because I'm not an expert on how this works or who gets paid to do what, but I would think the county's paying their subcontractors to deal with this appropriately. And it's kind of a shock to me because we work hard to separate this stuff. I have to store it. I have to take it down. I have to use my gas to do this. And when they're just throwing it away, it's like wasting my time. I mean, I could just throw it in the CR&R containers if that's the case. It's going in the same location. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, and that way everyone knows about it.
The guy's there, isn't
he? Okay, so, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We'll pass that message along.
I appreciate it.
Any other public comments? Okay, let's go on to the agencies. I see a couple of them. CHP Victorville, let me unmute you. I'm trying. You there?
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. All right. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having us part of the meeting. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
We can.
I'm sorry. I didn't get your name.
Officer Mumford, I'm the public information officer for Victorville.
Okay, thank you for joining.
You're welcome. I was hoping for more public comments, questions. I know one of the large topics that everyone wants to speak about and resolve and have resolves for is the snowplate issue up there. I did do some research today in regards to more of a permanent fix than a temporary one. I know that we had a meeting with Public Works a couple weeks ago regarding more signage for no snow play in the Wrightwood area, and I know there was a few things that the residents wanted signage-wise. In regards to that, was there any questions from the board towards CHP on our progress or anything that you want to talk about in regards to that?
Yeah, I have a question. How many tickets did you guys written over those two holiday weekends, or two of the busiest weekends I saw the CHP folks out there?
We did have at least one unit up there on both days. Anytime we know that there's going to be a large impact up there following a snow, we'll assign one directly to stay there the entire time, and then if there's another unit, we'll send up two. I don't have the exact numbers on how many citations we did issue. The citations we did issue were for no parking in the no parking zones. When I spoke with the Sheriff's Department, I'm sure they had statistics last time we spoke, but I believe they did a lot of more enforcement up there than we were able to, but I don't have exact numbers for you right now.
Yeah, it's just very concerning for me and the residents because there's a lot of folks that were on Highway 2 in the no parking areas, and I did see a number of CHP officers up there, and I just was wondering what the statistics were. So,
sure, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on that. I was one of the ones that was up there multiple times during that time just because I knew how heavy it would be. One of the issues we ran into is obviously being one, two officers and hundreds of people coming up there. We would go and clear one area. We tried to focus heavy on the no parking area right there at the Sheep Creek Bridge where they did the road construction or the bridge construction. That was a large pinch point, as well as we took multiple traffic complaints with people blocking the roadway at that first intersection just past that bridge on the left. So we would literally jump from call to call clearing people out of the residential area trespassing. We would go back to start writing the citations for the people that were parked in the no parking zones. And then within 5-10 minutes, those same spots in the residential areas would fill back up. So it was kind of a hopscotch, at least for the officers that were working that day in that area. Just trying to keep up with traffic complaints in the residential area and riding the no parkers in the on Highway 2 right there. I can elaborate more. Like I said, I did some research today. I've actually reached out to other mountain communities, not in our area, but this is obviously a large concern and problem that Lake Tahoe has. So I actually reached out to agencies up in that area in regards to the snow park passes, the system that they use, which is a collaborated effort with the community members, the key contacts, the actual business owners that are able to sell those passes through state parks, the U.S. Forest Service. They're another one that's in part of that, and then the Department of Transportation. So there's a lot I can get into that, and we can do that more. But as of right now, if we want to save that toward the end, we could speak of that.
Yeah, and I think that would be good to update. We have a standing meeting with Chuck and Sadie. Might be some opportunities from some further collaboration because they both have had meetings with county, and I know Sadie and Chuck could collaborate on that as well. But I think that would be a side topic that you guys could continue to have that dialogue and come up with recommendations to the board.
Yeah, I think it's something that would help in the long term. The biggest issue we run into when we're talking about citing all these people parked in the no parking zones and obviously blocking people's residence and trespassing is their question is, where do you want us to go? I tell the officers that are working up there, I tell them, push them up through past the ski resorts over to the forestry land. And even though there's most places you can't park up there, they're out of the residential areas and they're not blocking Highway 2 going through the town right there. So if we could get along with, you know, collaborative effort with state parks, with forestry service, et cetera, and actually finding a piece of property, either that's forestry land or owned by the state, that we'd be able to actually turn into a snow permit parking area, that's an option I think would help everybody out.
Okay.
In terms of the signs, this is Sadie, I'm on that standing committee. In terms of the signs, what kind of signs specifically are you guys pushing through? I know we've talked about a couple different generic ones, but I was just curious what specifics you discussed.
I know that it was discussed that there was a large sign that wanted to be placed somewhere down on the two saying no snow play in the Wrightwood area. There was logistics that came up with that and the legality of placing those signs and the regulatory laws regarding signs and whether you can write tickets out of those. I know the Sheriff's Department, they'll elaborate on signs that they wanted posted that they could actually use to cite the sections for playing in snow play areas. And I'm sure they'll talk about that. The signs that would come in with snow parks are actual signs that would direct people to a certain location, and they would have to pay a daily fee of $5 to park or $25 for an annual pass, and they could legally park there and have a place to where they can go and play in the snow. I think ultimately that would be the goal, because our biggest problem is people blocking Highway 2 and going into the residential area and just completely causing chaos.
Yes, I think our issue was just that nobody was willing to provide that safe location for snow play because of the liability. So if you have any ideas or leads for how we can do that, we'd be more than willing. I was just talking to Big Bear, and that's exactly what they do, is that they put cones on all of the roads, and they direct everybody to a certain place to go and park and snow play. But unfortunately, at Wrightwood, we don't have that place to direct them to.
I think that's our whole issue. And with the snow parks program that they have, there's actually 19 different locations throughout the Sierra Nevadas, from Tahoe all the way down towards us. And it creates funding for, obviously, bathrooms that they can put there, for disposal sites, large parking areas. It's a great program. I talked to the CHP officers up there. There are certain California public resource codes that they cite. They're $95 tickets if you park there without the pass. But like I said, there's a whole process into it, but it would actually give us somewhere to put all the people. Because, I mean, we could put 10 officers up there on these heavy weekends, and they're going to cite, you know, a few hundred tickets. And then by the time they get citing those few hundred tickets, there's going to be another 500 or 1,000 people that come up there. So it's going to be a revolving door, and we know it's a recurring problem. It's not something that's going to go away. So we discuss, obviously, the park. I believe the park right there allows people to park, and they can play in the area there, but you can only fit so many people there. So maybe when I can get with the Chuck in the next meeting, we can go over what it would take to find a piece of property to where they could clear it, make a parking lot, and they could charge for that.
Okay, great. I'll follow up with you after this meeting. That way I can get all more specific for that so we can run it together.
So sure, sounds good.
Thank you, Sadie.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for CHP Victorville?
I think the only reason we didn't have more public comment tonight is we haven't had any snow since our last meeting.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, we've all been in a reprieve from the snow traffic.
It's coming tomorrow, folks.
Snowball.
Watch it, Chuck.
Somebody raised their
hand. Thank you.
Okay, Sergeant with San Bernardino County Sheriff. How are you this evening?
Doing good, doing good. So not a lot has changed. Like CHP stated, you know, we had the meeting about the signage and stuff. What the Sheriff's Department was looking for as far as signage, because we're citing mainly on the county codes. Our main county code that we cite people for is County Code 53.0303, which is no parking for snow play. However, County Code 53.0304 states that there has to be some kind of signage out that says that there is no snow play. We requested just three simple signs, one on Highway 2 coming into town, one on Lone Pine Canyon, and one coming from the L.A. area, that just simply states that snow play is restricted within the town of Wrightwood. We would post the county code for that and just have it real simple, that, you know, violators are subject to to a fine. That would help us as far as enforcing the snowplow rules. Like I said, so far this year during the snow season, we've issued somewhere around 740 tickets for snowplow and for blocking traffic, you know, and such. Now, a lot of people do ask the same thing that they ask CHP, like, where can we go play? And as usual, I have my deputies direct them up towards Mountain High area in the LA County side to push them out of town. Now, obviously, having an actual snow play area in the town of Wrightwood would be a great help. Obviously, that's not going to happen, you know, tomorrow, but it would help as far as directing people to go. Now, also, we talked about additional no parking signs on Wright Mountain Road, since that is a large area where people are playing in the snow because it's an open area over there to the east. Now, whether we do get any additional signs before next snow season, I don't know, but those were our proposals that we proposed at the last meeting. Additionally, to help us, I've discussed this before at the other CSD meetings, that if we were able to, or if you were able to at least post on your web pages that there is no snow play allowed in the town of Wrightwood, that people can be violated, and give some direction on where they can go to play in the snow, that would also assist us for those people that actually look at that information prior to traveling up to the Wrightwood area during the wintertime.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so I see the any other questions from the public? To
there's somebody that has their hand up.
I
think he said his name was Hunter. He's the gentleman who spoke during public comment.
Oh,
I think under Anona.
Yeah. I was looking for that once. I'm trying here. It's going to take a minute. Come on. Really, I'm really hitting this button. Mute.
I think that maybe his hand has been raised from his first hand raise, and it never got put back down. Oh, yeah, it's gone now. He probably just removed it.
Okay, well, when he comes back, we'll ask him to jump in. But it looks like the San Bernardino County Road Department, is that right? Let me see here.
Department of Public Works.
Yeah, Department of Public Works. There you go.
Good, how are you guys? I'm Andy Sila with Department of Public Works. I'm the project manager for the construction of the Lone Pine Bridge project. As you all know, I don't know if everybody was here in the previous meetings, in January, that we replaced a 10-by-5-foot box into a 48-by-13-foot height arch culvert. The project is complete. I think you guys probably could drive through it now. All the major work has been completed. We did put a sign out there because there was a utility work that's going to be done by the end of the month because of a clearance, I think 15-foot clearance. So there's a clearance restriction right now because of a couple of utilities that need to be relocated by the end of the month. And we're also putting barricades on the access roads because our pipe gates are going to be installed in about 2 weeks. So, but the traffic has already been open to public. And we did some modifications on some of the traffic striping, and we added additional reflective markers on some of the areas on the project. So, it's done. Mostly done.
Yes.
Yeah, it's mostly done. We're happy that, I know it's been delayed because of whatever issues, weather, and all this.
Yes.
It's it was nice to have it open this morning.
All right.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
All right. Any questions? I think we did a great job on the project, and I think depending on the circumstance that we went through, I think we were able to get it done, as soon as we can. And I, you know, thank you guys for your patience, and we appreciate you guys' time and, you know, giving us feedback and whatever we need to do to complete it accordingly.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Any other agencies out there like to report in? Okay. We're going to go on to the consent calendar. The motion to approve the consent calendar.
Well, I have a question about the minutes. Lori, number 8 says February financials, but wouldn't that have been the January financials for the February meeting?
Yes, you are correct.
Number 8 or number 7? Number 7 is January and February financials.
No, in the minutes.
No, I'm talking about the minutes that are the part of the consent calendar that we're trying to approve. It was just a mistake. I thought it was a mistake.
It is a mistake.
On number 8. Okay. Everything else, I think everything else looked good. I know on the dump card photos, we talked about you getting a hold of Jeff Scott. I don't know if that's significant to have in there or not, but that was the only other missing thing for me.
Okay.
So do we have a motion on the correction on the month on the financials?
I move to accept the consent calendar with the adjustment, changing that from February to...
Did you guys hear me?
Yes.
We hear you.
Natalie's making a motion right now, Leo.
Leo, I move that we accept the consent calendar with the change that Michelle recommended.
Number 8.
Correct.
I second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion moved. Let's go to 5A, February 2nd, regular board meeting minutes. I need to a motion for
that's
that.
What we just approved, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Want to make sure we... Okay. Okay, general manager's report.
Okay. We've had some changes this month. I hired a new maintenance person. His name is Sean Kinzinger, and we're very excited to start working with him. Spring's on the way. We have several ideas on what to do in the parks to get them ready for the new season. The statewide parks program grant applications are complete, with the exception of the resolutions that we are going to be discussing later on tonight. I was contacted by the new owners of the Sunrise Church in regards to helping out with winter tourism. I believe Chuck spoke to them, and then they also sent me a follow-up email where they don't have any specific ideas in regards to that. So I believe that's just on hold for right now. CR&R is telling us they are still getting oil and other hazardous waste dumped in the recycling containers and the dumpsters along the highway. Mountaineer Progress did a story on that with their most recent edition. So I'm not going to go into it very far because, as I say, they did an excellent job. We have a broken pipe fixture on the outside bathrooms, and I'm getting information on fixing it. Currently, the water to the building is turned off, so there are no immediate issues with that. Dump card supplies have been ordered, and most have been received. We will start working on these, and the target date to be finished is May 31st. We have approximately 3,000 dump cards to print, address, sort, and mail, so it does take quite a bit of time. The cards will be in the mail by mid-June at the latest. In addition, I was also forwarded a flyer from President Hordijk that we are having a household hazardous waste collection event on June 12th of this year.
Where is it going to be held?
At the county yard.
That's fantastic.
Yes. So please make sure and let everybody know not to dump their hazardous waste. If they can hold on to it for a couple of months, we can take it off their hands.
Good. Thank you, Mountaineer Progress, for helping to put that together.
Yes.
Okay, any other questions for the general manager?
No.
Okay, let's go on. Lions Club proposed building
nope.
rental.
Nope, you've had my financials.
Number 7, Leo.
Oh, sorry. January and February financials.
Before we go any farther, the sheet that details out the estimated balances is incorrect for the reserve for replacement accounts. It should read 22,000, not 2,000.
Okay. I have a question on the street lights. It was 300 and I was wondering, do we know do we know if we have LED street lights out there? Not, Lori. Can you look into that? Because I would think
we could
get a street light. Edison bills, damn. I have it circled. It's $364.98 on page 205.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, I think we've got 11 or 12 street lights in our community that we're in charge of. And I know there was some effort this year, 2 years ago, about LED lights, and I was just wondering if you could find out some more information about that.
I will see what I can find out.
Okay. Okay, Chuck.
Yes, I got a question for Steve if he's around.
Yep.
Oh, there he is. Steve, we passed a resolution last November 2019 for the CSD district establishing a policy for district reserves. And on the financials, we show reserves for operations, and then also we have the reserves for replacements. Under the resolution, it talks about the if we wanted to take money out of those, we need a 4/5 vote of the council. But it also talks about it's a catastrophic type of situation if we wanted to use the replacements. In discussing this issue, it came up where capital gains, is capital stuff that we want to do, is that considered under the reserve for replacements, or do we have to have a separate? Because under the resolution, it seems like there's a separate area for capital improvements.
You mean on the reserves resolution?
Yeah. It's resolution 2019-10.
Okay. I can go take a look at it real quick.
Okay. And the question basically is, can we use the reserves that are dedicated for replacements? In the resolution, I read it as that's if a catastrophe happens. There's also a possibility that if we wanted to use it for capital projects, that we would take it out of that account. I don't read it that way, but I wanted to get your feeling on what this resolution talks about.
Okay, I can pull that while you're talking about these other things, and we can get back to it if you don't mind.
No, not at all. Not at all. The other stuff, Leo, is basically we got a couple areas that we're pressing the year-end budget, but Other than that, once we start getting some revenue from the softball and park leagues, the soccer and the, what is it called? The cornhole. Thank you. Once we start getting that revenue starting to come in, that should help us as far as revenue aspects of it.
I think we should have a cornhole tournament with the board.
I'm sorry? I didn't hear you, Leo.
You heard me, Lori, right?
I heard you.
A cornhole tournament for the board.
You got it.
There you go.
So then, then Chuck will know how to do that. I don't know what that game's all about.
Thank you. Have never played it, Leo, so, you know, I can go with you.
I think that'll be a great event for us to do. It'll be a charity event.
I'd rather go with the softball or soccer.
Right. I think you should have a cornhole tournament for the board as a charity thing.
There you go.
So is there any other questions? I saw the January's and February's numbers, and I saw the... I'm kind of waiting for Steve to come back here. I saw the numbers of those 130 parking and 150,000 in our savings for a total of, we've got about $250,000.
Actually, it's more than that.
We have $5,000 for the reserve for operations, and we have $22,009 for the reserve for replacements. We have not created an account for capital improvements. The question is, can we take the money out of that reserve for replacements, or do we need to set up an account that's not for catastrophic failure of what's going on? And we will eventually have to add some more money into those two accounts. Is it the end of the corporate year or the beginning of the new corporate year, Lori?
Yeah, we look and review the money that's in the accounts, and I make recommendations on based upon the depreciation and everything for what we should put in those accounts at the end of the fiscal year, so the July meeting.
Isn't that good? Okay, Steve, you're up.
All right. Well, I'm looking at the resolution, and you've got a reserve for operations, and you've got a reserve for replacement. And the reserve for operations may be utilized to pay the cost of operating the district's general system, including unanticipated costs of operation. The reserve for replacements may be utilized to replace the district's physical plant as needed. So at capital improvements, it would seem to me that would be a different line item. Now, typically I don't get so much involved in the budgeting. That's really a policy matter for the board and the general manager. And the reserve account, whether or not you want to establish a reserve account for capital improvement projects is something that the board can consider as part of its reserve policy. That's something that we can bring up at the next board meeting. We can agendize that, and the board can, can review that policy and decide if there's any need to make any changes.
Well, I'd love to see that on the next board meeting agenda, because I would like to keep the replacement reserve. Or really what it says, catastrophic, you know, problem, whether we have an earthquake or we got something going on that, you know, our infrastructure is damaged and we need to replace that type of stuff. We know we've got a minimum of $35,000 on capital gains, and my concern just simply is...
Chuck, before you go any further, please don't refer to it as capital gains. That's a tax term. Well, you're going to confuse people.
Holy me. But anyway, the capital projects We'll put it that way. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
Okay, good. that with grants and other things coming up, our cash is going to go flying out the window, and I'd like to make sure that we've got at least for the capital projects, we're starting a reserve or a, you know, an account to put that money aside. Because it didn't take us long last year to get down to $300 in our checking account. So just something to be aware of. That's all. We don't have to do it.
That was the name.
I think agendizing it for your next meeting is a good idea.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll agendize it.
And for those who want to listen, it's Resolution 2019-10. It was passed on the fifth day of November 2019 by a 5-0 vote. And it's on the website, buddy.
Any other questions from the board on financials for January and February?
Nope.
No.
Okay. We'll do we need a motion on this, Steve?
You can, to accept them.
Do we have a motion to accept both January 2nd, or January and February 2021 financials?
Well, I move that we accept the January financials. I would also move to accept the February as is, since there's additional information that needs to be supplied for the February.
Okay.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Now
Chuck,
we're going to go on.
Chuck, what additional information for February do you need?
Well, the times of the staff, the additional what's in the reserves account, that didn't show up in my February. The distribution, I call it a check register, but...
That's all in there. That's all in there.
Okay, well, then my computer must not like you because I didn't get it for February. So you have the staff hours for February?
Yeah, it's all in there.
Okay, don't see it. Get a copy for me.
Looks like it's on page 19. Or 19 is February breakdown of hours.
I say that particular page, I believe it's the last page of the financials.
But, you know, when I looked at it, I had the same thing when I so I was under the same impression as Chuck, because when I looked at it on the packet that was sent to us on the email, I had, there were a lot more January financials than February. But the one that's linked on the website that I've pulled up now has all of it for both months.
Okay.
The same file. Okay.
And I have it right here.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, we'll move forward.
Okay.
To item number, hold on. Now I got my pages messed up here. Okay.
Number 8, Lions Club.
To Lions Club proposal building rental.
Okay.
Discussion and action here.
Okay, I received the following building rental request from the Lions Club. They wish to resume their monthly meetings on the third Thursday of each month, starting on March 18th at 6:30 for 2.5 hours each month. I have attached their plan, but the highlights are a maximum of 20 people in the building. Face masks are required. Tables will be covered. Tables and chairs will be sanitized at the end of the meeting. Bathrooms will be sanitized at the end of the meeting. Trash will be removed to the dumpster, and the majority of the members there should have received the first dose of their vaccine. The only issue I see is the crossover to co-op on those Fridays they are in the building. Staff would not have time to spray the building, so the Lions Club would need to be very vigilant in cleaning before leaving. I could have staff at the building early in the morning, Friday morning, to help with the takedown slash setup of the table should it be needed. We would need updated insurance for the Lions Club, but I don't see that as an issue, you know, going forward.
Do they have
a question here.
A security deposit or a cleaning deposit on file?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question here. Is this a good time for the board? And we could do this in the next meeting to review our fees for 2021.
Review our what?
To review our fees.
Fees?
Fees.
That would rental be an agenda item.
Rental fees for rental the building. Fees.
Can we put that on the next agenda? That needs to be its own item, right?
Yes. That's what I'm thinking. I didn't know if the rest of the board thinks that we should do that as well. Before we start doing 2021, I think we should look at the fees, and Lori could do, you know, like what we did last year or the year before, what other surrounding areas are doing, and what we need to do to charge, because things gone up.
So let's put that on the agenda for next time, but I don't think that precludes us from going forward discussing the Lion Club proposal, because the Lions Club would be just like the co-op. If at some point the rates change, then it's not like we have a signed contract for a specific rate for the year. It just means that going forward after that, the rates have now gone up, and then we have a choice to continue to rent or not. But I don't think it is necessary to review that before addressing the Lions Club request.
Okay. In addition,
Lori, if we could agendize a meeting.
I've got it. In addition, I've also got information from the County of San Bernardino. San Bernardino on Friday opened up high contact sports. A lot of the churches, retail, everything is going to 25% of capacity. Currently, 25% of capacity for our building is 56 people.
Okay.
Thank
you. I read the proposal, and I would support it, so I don't know if Vicki wants to talk on it, but my opinion, I would recommend supporting.
I support it. I do as well. School district's starting to get into the hybrid thing for grade schools. I mean, people are getting vaccinated. This is the way it's going. And
so I don't know
be good
if the board has any comments about it, but I can make a motion now and support it.
Does anybody object to it?
Okay. So no, I'd like to
– I think now I just have a specific question, Vicki, for you, since we're here in this platform. Is it okay if the tables are left up and just shoved against the wall?
Oh, perfect.
Does that leave you with enough room to do what you need to do? Because we've left the tables up all during COVID.
Yeah, no, that would be fine. That'd be fine. Less work for us to
Okay,
have.
Then.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, great. So then, Lori, I don't think there's any need for additional. As long as they're really good about cleaning things and, like, wiping it down, because we'll be there less than 12 hours later. I don't see any conflict between the two, and it'll be good to get the building used again.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that was my concern, and I made sure to we just received in some additional supplies of spray disinfectant and wipes, so we're good to go.
My internet is a little quirky out here, so.
And, Natalie, I'd support your motion as long as you put in there that depending on if we decide to raise the rates. It's acceptable as is the $13.50 that they're talking about, unless the rates are raised. That's all.
Okay.
Other than that, I think it's fine. And it doesn't mean that we're going to raise the rates. It just means that if it does happen at a future board meeting, then that would include it.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's Vicki, if you could forward on insurance.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
And we've still got a vote on it.
Oh.
So I move to accept the Lions Club proposal, considering that they follow the rate schedule that is current, and if it changes, they shall follow that rate schedule.
And Chuck,
all in favor?
Second. I'll second it.
Okay.
You want to vote,
sorry,
Leo?
Guys.
Should we vote, Leo?
All opposed? Okay.
Okay, just for the record, I vote in favor because I didn't get to say aye.
Aye.
Yes. All approved.
Yikes.
All right. Motion carried. Good deal. Chuck, you may have to fill in for Leo here. He keeps freezing.
Yeah.
He would never do that. See, that's what happens when he says cornhole, so.
So can we go ahead and move on? What do we do here, Steve?
Yeah, I think the vice president can move forward with the agenda.
Okay, number 9, which is the Capitol Grant Standing Committee. I believe that's Natalie and Michelle.
Okay, Natalie, should I start?
Yeah, go ahead, Michelle. Thank you.
So, update for per capita Standing Grant Committee. So we started this process by surveying our community to see what their priorities were for this grant money. And after doing that, we began to research the choices indicated as top priorities by our community to help guide our recommendation to the board. We have now completed that research and have gone far enough to make a recommendation and have reached a place where we're ready to make that recommendation. We're going to pursue the Option 2 plan with some adjustments. First, I'll let Natalie go ahead and address what she learned about the proposed project on the east end of town, which was option 1. And then we'll go back and I'll address our option 2 proposal. But Natalie, if you want to tie up the east side conversation.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle. Okay, so 62% of the community members that we surveyed who participated in the survey indicated that they had interest in seeing a road constructed to access a potential 4-acre piece of donated land. We have been formally researching the Eastside Park idea since I submitted a pre-application development review with the county in October. The county recommended that it was the best way that we find out what exactly we need to do to build a road and a new park area. Since then, we have been fully researching the idea and have discovered what we think are most of the costs that would be associated with the project. There would be costs associated with CEQA, permitting, surveying, various studies, engineers, engineer designs, and the actual material needed for the construction. We have decided not to recommend moving forward with the Eastside Park idea. We will retain all the After all we've discovered, we have found that these costs would exceed the grant amount. As a committee, our intention was to identify the most feasible and fiscally responsible project. We have decided not to recommend moving forward with the Eastside Park idea. We will retain all the materials we have gathered throughout our research, and if the opportunity ever arises to get a larger grant or other funding source, we could potentially revisit the project in the future. The property owners have indicated that the offer would still be on the table if we were able to make it happen in the future. And I just want to take a moment on the record to thank the board for their patience in letting us research this, and also the potential land donors, the community volunteers that help with this, the community members who provided input, and the staff for helping in the research process.
And thank you and Monica for all the work you've done.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for all the work.
Before I go on to option 2, what we are going to recommend, are there any, if anybody's got anything that they want to tie up about the east side, and then we'll move on.
No, I appreciate the work that you guys have done on it. I know there was anytime you're dealing with the county, there's definitely work involved. So I think it's a good idea that you save the information. If in fact in the future something comes along to where we could do something like that, and we're not inventing the wheel again, so
yeah.
I agree with everything that you said.
This is my research I've gathered here.
Yes.
So this, I will save that.
Grow.
And basically, you know, as time went by, we found out more and more and more pieces that were going to cost more and more and more. And, you know, as they tallied up, they exceeded our budget. So that was mostly.
All right. Well, thank you for your work and effort.
And I did receive enough letters and email over the last 2 weeks. And Lori presented a letter today as well. So I just I had a lot of community reaction on this proposal one, so I can't wait to hear proposal two.
Okay, so option two originally contained four things. It contained improving the electric capacity for Vivian Knoll Stage. I hope I'm saying that, phrasing that properly, but increasing the amount of musicians and equipment that could be run off that stage. Upgrading the lighting in the community building. It also included upgrading the Hollis Stewart Park and purchasing a portable stage.
Portable stage
that we would have figured out a place to store, and the idea was it could be used for music in the Pines and in our parking lot, and then could be rented to other agencies in town for the events that are held in the center of town where we need stage and that kind of thing. Anyway, the portable stage is not eligible under the requirements for the grant. All structures must be permanently fixed, and it would be silly to put money into a portable stage when if we wanted to have a permanent stage, it would cost less than these portable stages cost. So the whole point of purchasing the portable stage would be so that other organizations could use it, and it could be set up in the middle of town, or, you know, whatever Christmas tree is chosen, if we could set it up there and do different events. So that is not eligible under this grant, so that piece is off the table. So the proposal we're submitting reallocates the funds for the stage to be included in the park upgrade. I mentioned last time that one of the things that we learned about the park is that nothing's to code. None of the areas have the proper space they can have around different equipment for safety, let alone ADA things. So trying to replace one area at a time is not going to be friendly to our community. For instance, the only place we have room to put swings is in that top area where the big piece of equipment is. Well, if we took out that to put swings, now we've got double swings and not anything anyway. So the whole thing really needs to be done at once. And let me go back. Sorry, I had written things out and I just got off my writing. So the park upgrade is intended to include the entire area on that block, and will replace all of the equipment and make the park ADA compliant. We hope to add an additional area or two for more play equipment, which would be on the downhill between where the equipment is and Highway 2. There's still quite a bit of land that we could utilize, and we would section it off, level it off, so that we have the proper fill requirements for wood chips and such. To make the park ADA compliant, we hope to add an additional area or two for more play equipment. These plans are in line with many communications we've received from community members encouraging us to focus these grant funds on improving the resources we already have. We're in the process of getting a formal estimate from the representative we're working with. We were really excited to find one company that offers all the products we want, so that we're not trying to have one person put in a slide and somebody else put in this piece. One company can come in. They can clear out what they said they would be doing is they would fence off the entire park, and they would clear everything out, and then they would set up the new areas. We would make sure we've got the fill we need and such. They would install the equipment and remove our equipment, which is not going to be worth anything, because once you pull it out of the ground, it's dismantled. It's just going to go to the dump. And it's also probably not to code for anything anymore. Anyway, they'll take away all that, put the new stuff in, and Natalie, what did he say, 3 weeks?
He said 3 weeks.
Approximately, for that whole process.
And he said,
all of it?
He said,
from start to finish, it wouldn't be like in 2 weeks we can start this process. It will take
quite a while once we place the order to get everything manufactured according to the colors we use and all of those things.
He said from the time of ordering to the time of installation is approximately 3 months, and the actual installation portion is 3 weeks.
Okay, is any of that grandfathered in, Michelle, or not? The regulations. Well, if we just, I know that we've talked about the slides have slashes in them where they need to be replaced definitely, but if we only did that portion of it, is the other stuff grandfathered in as far as
we're going to replace all of it?
You don't want to keep any of the old stuff.
Is there any grandfathering done on the existing stuff that we might not do?
Chuck, we've got more than enough money to redo that whole playground and make it super nice. There's no reason to keep any of that old stuff.
Okay.
So we're still waiting on a cost estimate. We don't have that part yet, but because there's several steps he has to go through to get a real estimate for us. But my hope is based on the preliminary numbers I got from him a month ago when we were just kind of looking at a partial, what could we do for 80 grand, for 100 grand, that it's certainly going to go up, but we believe that we're going to have the funds for all of that.
How much, and maybe this is for Lori, how much do we have to put out up front before the grant money ends, you know, shows up in our coffers?
It depends. It's time-wise. We have to wait for the grant money to come into our coffers, which usually takes, I would say, 6 to 8 weeks.
And, Lori, we can make a request, right, that we get the money up front to do the project versus
We can make a request for an advance. They won't advance the whole amount, but we can make a request for an advance. We do have $150,000 in the savings account, which should cover quite a bit of it while we're waiting for them to reimburse us for that money. So we should be fine.
But we got to watch out for the state. I want to make sure we have them some set of revenues coming in before we pull the trigger on the $150,000.
We have to wait for the application to be approved and that we've got a contract before we start spending any money.
That's correct.
Lori, all that has to be done by December, right? The application contract.
I believe it's December of next year, but I'd have to double check.
So I thought it was December of this year.
Hold on.
What we're looking for is support from the board saying if you guys support this avenue, this plan, that we can go full steam ahead with our representative for the playground renovation, Murray, and in getting numbers together and proceeding to apply for the actual funds.
Now, does this include the Eagle Scout that wanted to update the lighting and he's got the electrician and all that stuff set up?
It does. And I think that if Leo will unmute him, Ben is here on the call now.
All right.
So, Chuck, that would include the electrical, the lighting, and an entire park renovation.
I don't know if I could unmute him.
You did for a second, then you
I can unmute myself. I don't know what you want me to talk about.
Just think you're still willing to do it.
Still willing to do it. There was some complications with the Boy Scouts Council my troop is with, but that's been straightened out now. So, yeah, really it's just relying on the funding now.
And we were looking, Ben, at around $2,500, if I remember correctly?
Yes, that's right.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah, Natalie, we've got till next year.
Next December?
Yes.
Okay. But we can do it earlier. Like if we're able to get it together early, we can do it now.
Oh, yeah. We want to do it as quickly as possible before maybe the state puts a hold on those funds.
Okay. So at this point, we're really waiting for the information from the playground company.
Right.
With the estimate, with all of the pieces that are going to go into that. Steve, we've got some information for you. Natalie, I don't know if you forwarded that to him.
No, not yet.
We've got some information about the legal side of the purchasing and that kind of piece. They have a 100-year warranty on their products. And if something breaks, if something needs to be replaced, they take care of it. They come out here and deal with it. And they also give you a little kit in the when they install it with paint, if you need to do touch-up paint, with tools for tightening different pieces. Really, really quality company.
And they we're getting a quote from.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do, because this company makes a specific, there's different things that we want, and we were researching it, and it was like you couldn't get everything from that one company, and this is the one company that we found that we can get every piece of park equipment that we want, and so, Steve, could you elaborate on that, what we talked about in email?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's typically what you'll see in the grant agreements will be that you will need to engage in competitive bidding, and the district is subject to competitive bidding requirements under the Public Contracts Code, and based upon those requirements, the board has adopted a purchasing policy consistent with that. That purchasing policy acknowledges that there may be times where the district engages in sole source contracting if the contractor provides unique services that can't be obtained from any other source. Then in that case, it's recognized under California law that the district can enter into a sole source contract with that particular construction company without having to go to competitive bid. Whether that creates any contractual issues for the district as part of its grant agreement is something that we will need to address with the state. There's more to come on that particular issue. That is acceptable under your policy, acceptable under California law. The question is whether it will be acceptable to the state as part of grant funding under your contract. And that's sort of the thing with these grant contracts. It's not like it's free money. There are strings attached. And this is a perfect example of the kind of strings that will be attached. I think Director Schneider and Director Lopiccolo had mentioned CEQA. That's another string that's attached, the district will need to engage in the environmental review of the proposed project, and not only have to do that pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, but we'll also have to do that pursuant to contract now. So those are definitely issues that will need to be addressed as we move forward. Not that they can't be accomplished, but those will be hurdles that will need to be addressed.
Steve, did we send you the information on their cooperative purchasing? They have a company called Omnia Cooperative Purchasing for education and government agencies.
I have not received that. I've received a number of emails from Director Lopiccolo, but I do not have that document.
Yeah, I didn't send that, Michelle. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Murray sent it to both of us. And anyway, there's something specifically he said we should get to you, so we will get back to you about it.
Okay.
Great. So anyway, we're looking for approval from the board to move forward with option two to get the pieces Lori needs to apply for the actual money and get things going.
I just want to say real quick that I appreciate you guys so much going through all that research to make sure that we're making the right decision here. And as much as I want a park on the east side of town because I'm over here, I do believe that this is the right move, and I'm excited to move forward with that. But I just wanted to take a second to appreciate Annika, Carol Bishop, and Hank Hallmark that all individually emailed me in support of the park and the upgrades and the ADA compliance and all of that. And I just appreciate that we have citizens that are willing to reach out to us and voice their concerns and issues. And I'm happy to see that were able to follow through with what they have requested. So you guys definitely have my support there, and I'm willing to help with whatever you need moving forward.
Thanks. Thank you, Sadie.
Yeah, after we got done with our public polling, all of the email correspondence I have received has been in favor of working with the structures we already have.
Yeah.
Specifically the park and making it ADA compliant.
I had, like I said, I had about 15 emails sent to me over the last week from, I think it was Property Owners Association. So I have a lot of support there as well. So any more comments?
Randy has his hand up right now. I guess we'll probably maybe vote before going to comment.
No, we got to hear Randy first.
Okay. Randy, you can probably unmute yourself, I believe.
I think you can.
There he goes. Great. No, this sounds good. But when Sadie mentioned Hank Hallmark, I just want to make sure that option two plan deals with his waterless urinals. We'll never hear the end of it.
It doesn't
as it stands. It does not.
Uh-oh. I was going to say, the email from him was just to bring up the awareness about the ADA compliance. So I didn't hear anything about that in this, at least.
I didn't hear anything about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I received an email from Mr. Hallmark as well, and I realized how much I miss him. He raised some good issues about liability and whatnot. Yeah.
The waterless urinals are actually addressed in the next set of grant applications.
Okay. Mm. So do we need a motion, Steve? What do we need at this point to move on from
option one or option two?
Yeah, I think a motion would be in order. I think it's been agendized for you've had the report for item nine, and I think the general manager's agendized that as item number 10.
Okay, so. Can we make the motion as the ad hoc committee?
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't know if it's we or I'll make a motion and then Natalie can second it. I would move that we move forward with option two, which now contains three items, the Vivian Knoll stage electric upgrade, the community building lighting upgrade, and the overhaul of the Hollis Stewart Park.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, ladies, let's move forward.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all the hard work.
Thank you.
I hear that sigh of relief there, Michelle.
It's Lori's turn.
She thinks.
Okay. And statewide parks program grant discussion and possible action. That's item number 10.
Yes. Okay, the applications for the statewide parks programs grants are complete with the exception of the resolution which followed this item. I've sent two separate files, one for each grant application, so the board can review some of the documents that are ready to be submitted. I have granted John Cosraw access to the applications and let him know they're ready for final review. I did get an email after I finished this. That he did review them. He thinks the applications look good. And so with the exception of the resolutions, we're ready. I'm ready to submit these. The first application is for the skate park and playground. I'm submitting to add a bowl to the skate park and redo the playground for around $350,000. No final plans need to be submitted until the grant is awarded. And we may decline it at that time if we decide not to go forward with the project. If the playgrounds are already covered by the per capita grant, we may submit for a basketball court or something similar by the skate park with a smaller bowl. And I'll tell you, the bowl itself is hugely expensive. So if you
just... What's the...
A skate park bowl?
Oh, bowl, okay.
Okay, the second application...
It's like a swimming pool.
Yeah. Exactly like what a swimming pool.
And you skate through it like a swimming pool, but they have them at most skate parks, so.
I'm sure my friends will tell me about it.
The second application is for $225,000 and will be for the community building, parking lot, and Vivian Knoll Park areas. This would allow us to make the building and parking areas ADA compliant while updating the areas and expanding the Vivian Knoll stage area. We can decline the grant if it's awarded, if the board should decide it's not feasible. I do want to remind the board that these are competitive grants, so we are not guaranteed an award. Grant applications and documentation is in a separate packet.
Lori, I have a question. Is it going to be a disadvantage to us that we got the per capita grant and that we're choosing to do the playground update? Is it going to be a disadvantage to us at all if we chose the if we got the skate park one with the park expansion?
I don't believe so, because when I talked to the grant coordinator, I was concerned that the skate park and the playground would be considered two separate areas. They are not. So as long as they're considered one area, if we want to make a design change, we're okay with that.
Okay. Great. And that space that we're talking about, can you utilize the space all the way down to the asphalt, you know, all that dirt space? Can you utilize the space all the way down?
Yes, that is fully our property, so we can utilize that whole space.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
And we've talked to the Snow Line School District about this as well?
Yes. The Snow Line School District Council is working with our general counsel to redo the lease agreement of the property that the playground sits on, because the playground sits on the school district property. The skate park, it belongs to CSD property.
Oh. Okay. Didn't know that.
Great. Thanks for your work on this, Lori.
Thank you.
Is there anything we need to do for this item, Steve?
Yes, I think on item number 11, there's two resolutions that need to be adopted.
But nothing for item 10, right?
Okay.
No. I think item 11 will cover.
Okay.
On item number 10.
So nothing more on item 10. Number 11, Statewide Parks Grant Resolution. And that's resolution 2021-04.
And 2021-05.
Okay. And 05, yep.
Yep. There needs to be a resolution for each of the applications. So basically, I need to know if the board is okay with the resolutions, and I will need to get them signed by somebody on the board so I can submit the applications.
Okay, and it's got to be done by?
No later than March 12th, but I prefer not to wait that long.
Okay.
But they're all ready to go. You just need a signature?
Yeah, I would say if President Hordak can't sign it because he's not available, Vice President Franklin can. So
Steve, obviously you had some hand in with this resolution 04 and 05.
Very little, frankly. The resolution language is one that has been drafted by the state. There's standard language that the state requires, and then all that needed to be filled in was sort of the nature of the project that would be approved by virtue of each resolution. So that's all. The remainder of the resolution is really just standard language that is part of the grant application. And it's the language of that those resolutions are similar to the one that you adopted for the per capita grant project about a year ago.
So my question, Lori, on number 05, you start out with number 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. 12. Is it supposed to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
That's a really good point.
You mean the resolution numbers?
No, you're right. The paragraph numbers.
No, you did this all in one document, and it did automatic numbering for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Steve, we pretty much, this is like those, you know, agreements you sign when you sign up for something. If we want to apply for these grants, we pretty much have to pass these resolutions, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's not. He's coming back.
No.
That corrects.
Oh, correct. So Steve, I mean, these are two separate resolutions. The draft agenda that I prepared had them agendized separately. but I think because of the number of items on the agenda, they were compacted into one agenda item, and so I think that may be that may be why they're numbered like that.
Well, barring changing the numbers, I'm good with passing them.
So moving forward here, Steve, is it something that we just have a motion on 05, but changing the numbering sequence?
Yeah, I think the board okay. They can adopt both 04 and 05 with respect. I mean, probably the best thing to do would be to separate motions for, yeah, break them up.
Okay.
And then have a motion on 04 and then a motion on 05 with the renumbering.
Okay.
All right, I'd move we pass resolution 2021-04.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Then I'll move we pass resolution 2021-05 with the correction of the numbering being changed from 7 through 12 to 1 through 6.
Okay. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries for Lori on 2021-04 and 2021-05 with the corrections. Thank you, Lori.
Leo, I had someone message me and say they're in the waiting room. Is there any way you could let...
I had to go to my waiting room. Let me see if I could dial.
Thank you.
Okay. How's that? Todd Christensen?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
All right.
Probably Monica.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Monica, are you there?
She's muted, but she's there now. Yeah, she showed up.
Monica, can you unmute yourself?
Hi. Sorry, well, thanks for letting me in.
You're welcome. Oh, you just wanted, do you have anything to say, or just wanted to be invited, right? Okay. Okay, we'll go to the next item on the agenda, and that is... the Capital Improvements Plan and Update, number 12.
Okay. At the February 2nd meeting, the board asked me to discuss to move this topic to March. We have a number of projects that should be done this year, but due to budget constraints, the following are the projects that I feel we should concentrate on this year in order of importance. The first one is replacing the stove in the kitchen. Now, I had estimated $2,800. Basically, the quotes that I received were basically more than that for a decent stove. We've got a couple that are lower cost, which we could get, you know, an extended warranty on if you want to go that route, but that's about where we are with the stove. Replacing the refrigerator in the kitchen, I don't know if anybody is aware of this, but that refrigerator has rust on the inside, which could affect us getting our health permit should they come out and look at it. So I'm concerned about that issue. The gazebo needs to be recoated. We need to protect the wood so we don't have to replace it. Paint the interior of the community building restrooms. Paint the interior of the outside restroom building. Repair skate park concrete because there is a huge crack where there is a lot of cement missing. Upgrade the community building windows and update the granite walkway at the skate park. Now, I've attached the quotes for the new stove along with the spec sheets.
Lori, can the skate park repairs be part of... Can
no.
we hold off on those and see about that,
no.
the grant?
No.
No?
No. You cannot use the grant money for repairs or maintenance. You can only use it for capital improvements.
Okay.
Lori, now, I wanted to ask... Oh, sorry.
That's okay. We can use the grant money to upgrade the walkway by the skate park. So.
Great.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd like to hold off on that till we see about that grant.
Okay.
And then did you get in touch with Midway Appliances? Because
yes.
I know
Yes, the Midway Appliance commercial stoves started at $8,000.
Never mind. Doesn't matter if they install for free then.
Yeah, no, I figured it would be cheaper to go with one of these companies.
I think so. Good work.
Lori, on the painting of the building, like inside the bathrooms and stuff, is there any way that we could have the new employee do something like that?
Yes. In fact, that is the plan. The $1,000 is basically for the supplies to do it all. I doubt it'll be that high because they are small buildings or small rooms.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea. It looks like Dish Factory came in and Central Restaurant. And the website restaurant.
Do you have a recommendation for the specific stove, Lori?
I do not. I think that's more Leo's expertise area than it is mine.
Yeah, I have worked with Dish Factory. Jamie's a great guy out there. And I'm sure whatever quality or whatever your requirements are, Lori, I don't know what your requirements are in regards to a four burner, a griddle, one oven, two ovens. So,
basically, we looked at a six burner with a griddle with two ovens, basically, kind of to replace somewhat the same thing that we already have.
Okay.
So, what's the real difference between the Atossa range and the Royal range at Dish Factory?
The only thing I don't know about the Atossa range is if it can be used at high elevations. That's something that we found. Tammy found out for me is that we have to make sure that we have the gas connection rated for higher elevations.
Yeah, and it all goes back down to the orifices. And the Royal range is a good range. I haven't heard of the Atossa range at all, so.
I wonder why it's what the price difference is about.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you pay for what you get. And I just, for us, as much use we get on it, that's the other piece of it. How much do we use that range? You know, for me, I use it 14 hours a day. For us using our use, I don't know. How often has that range been used last year, Lori?
Last year, not at all, except for the seniors' meals. Prior to that, it was used for the pancake breakfast, the spaghetti dinner, very few usages.
So that's the decision we have to make. It sounds like it might be used once or twice a month.
If that, I would say six times a year.
Okay. So then,
now, that's not always been true. There used to be a lady, or there still is a lady in town who makes jams, and before she started working out of the kitchen attached to the pizza place, she worked out of the community building kitchen. So it has changed throughout. I think, though, that with the county licensing people to do home, to cook in their own home and coming out and approving that that's probably reduced long-term any demand for that kind of thing in our kitchen. But I know it's fluctuated greatly in the 12 years I've been using the building.
So,
but nowhere near the demands you have, Leo.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't go and get a $4,300 range, and you know, you got not, you know, using it six times a year. You know, the $28,000 or $3,000 range. Okay, that's a decent range for what our needs are. But you need to find out some more particulars around that range about altitude as well.
Okay.
So, Leo, is this something you could work with Lori on, or Steve, is this something we have to decide in the meeting?
I could work with Lori. Matter of fact, I gave her one or two of these contacts.
Yes, and they were very helpful.
Yeah. So.
Will they take the old stove away?
I'm still investigating that.
And Dish Factory will.
Okay.
So I don't know if we need it. Do we need an approval on all these line items, Steve, or is it, or do we do the one-offs, or do we go with what we have here?
I guess it depends on what it is the board is authorizing. Typically, when you adopt a capital improvement plan, that doesn't necessarily mean you're authorizing the purchase of those items. It just is. This is the plan. for moving forward, and then in each individual item, once it's ready, once there is a need, then the general manager would bring that particular item to the board for approval. But
okay.
The capital improvement plan doesn't necessarily authorize purchase of the equipment. That requires separate action.
So if we look at the top seven items on this list and get the approval from the board on the capital improvement on the general manager's top seven items, then as we go through this year and the fiscal of 2022, then she could move forward on getting a stove, but she's got to come to the board for approval.
She would need to bring that to the board for approval, separate approval. This is just a plan of like a budget for what the board expects to spend for capital improvements for the next fiscal year, and then the general manager would bring back the item for actual approval.
Okay. So any more questions from the board on these top seven? Not the walkway to the skate park. We'll hold that one off.
No, thanks for putting this together, Lori.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we need a motion to move these seven items as the capital expenditures for this year or 2022?
Yeah, it would be just a capital improvement plan. This does not authorize any expenditure at this point.
So a capital improvement plan. So who's going to give us the motion for this, please?
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I forget the rest of the words, Steve.
No, that's good. That's perfect.
Learn my trick.
I'll do a second.
Wait, somebody has to make the actual motion. We haven't got the wording of the motion.
That's what I was asking for.
Steve, how would you word it?
I think Leo, I motion to approve the capital improvement plan numbers 1-7 in the staff report.
Sadie, you just say so moved.
So moved. So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you, Lori, and please reach out to me, okay?
I was going to say, you want me to reach out to you in regards to the stove?
Or the other items, too, because I could probably give you some insight.
Okay, perfect.
All right, item number 13, baseball fields, discussion and possible action.
Okay, I received an email from John Garner, the principal at Wrightwood Elementary, regarding the baseball fields. He did send me another email this evening. He is tied up in another meeting and is not able to join us. In order for Little League and the CSD to begin using the fields, they need quite a bit of work. They're looking at a load of brick dust, dragging, and lots of work to the outfields. They're asking for help with money, manpower, etc. Since the CSD will probably be using the fields later this year, I would recommend making a donation of $600, which matches what we did last year to pay for half a load of brick dust, and also providing up to 20 hours of our maintenance person to help out getting the fields into shape. This would be less than $1,000 total, and I think it would benefit the school, the Little League, and the CSD.
Okay. I support this 100%. I think it's definitely necessary.
I do too, and the school board's been super generous.
Yes.
The school board have been very generous with us with that field. And
yeah.
And I like the idea of having Sean go and do some of the work. That's great.
I concur as well. They've been a big partner of ours, and I know it's got the last 2 years has been little or no maintenance the last two seasons, and we just need to jump in and help them out, and hopefully we'll get a bunch of volunteers out there as well. And I know Little League does a big piece of that as well.
Yeah, Little League usually has a very big weekend push to get the fields ready.
Ready. Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get our sports program going and we'll make the money back.
Yes.
Yes. So do I get Chuck, you okay with this?
I am definitely okay with it. I think they're a great partner, and I think it's something that we need to continually work with them on. I mean, you know, I think the lease, if I remember correctly, before our attorney reworks it, is $1.
Yes.
So I'd say we're doing very well with the school, and I'd like to support them. I agree.
Okay.
So I move that we follow Lori's recommendation and donate $600 to the Little League and provide 20 hours of maintenance from our maintenance person.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Summer Softball League, discussion and possible action, item number 14.
With the San Bernardino County opening sports up to high contact, I reached out to Director Lopiccolo in regards to softball, and she asked me to include this topic on the agenda.
Yeah, so I wanted it included on the agenda just based on what Lori shared, and also John Garner, the principal at Wrightwood Elementary, has that their board at the school district has approved Little League being able to play and use the fields. And so he suggested that perhaps the CSD would like to do the same. There's guidelines on, you know, what the teams will have to do and what we as a district will have to do to, you know, deal with COVID right now. But I'm basically asking the board if we can approve organizing a league for the summer, which would start around the end of May, so after Thursday, and then, you know, go for the same. We usually do 8 weeks, and so I'd like to start planning for that, potentially start registration in April, so long as the, you know, the guidelines stay the same and the numbers stay down and we're trending and continuing to decline as a county. So I just wanted to ask the board if they would be open to us starting to reorganize for a summer league.
I'm excited about the possibility. I wonder if you've given any thought to whether or not there would be any vaccination requirements.
So it didn't, from what I read, it didn't read that. There was something about, nothing about vaccination. About testing, but they said for a moderate contact sports like softball that it's not required. They are talking about doing that for like a high contact, which I think they consider like football, rugby, stuff like that. So from what I have seen, I haven't seen anything about vaccines. And the fact that I'm sorry.
I was going to say, would you look into specifically how the adult teams are addressing it? Because the K through 12 teams are different because the vaccines aren't even being offered to kids. So it's not even a topic of conversation in that area, I don't think.
Yeah.
But for adult sports, it might be a different. I just like to see what other people are doing. And,
yeah.
And I mean, we don't know how widely the vaccine will even be available by then. So I don't know if there's any practicality to it, but it just seems like a discussion we should have.
Yeah. There was some things on there. I printed it out because I was going to read it to you, but I can't find it. But there are some precautions like social distancing that they're recommending. They're recommending that you wear a mask, recommending that you do not hang out in a dugout and that you are spaced 6 feet apart. They're recommending that you do not have spectators. They're recommending that you're not sharing equipment. So the ball's different because you're playing with and you don't use the same bats and things like that. And so, I mean, there's a pretty comprehensive list of, you know, what they're recommending as of now. But like I said, that's kind of changing every week depending on, you know, the how much we improve here. So it's something that we'd have to watch, but we could still pursue our organization of it and I guess advertising it and trying to register people just under the notion that we know that things can change at any time and, you know, letting the teams know that and that they're, you know, we're going to be providing them waivers that, you know, are specific to COVID and whatnot. So that, I mean, that's the way that I see handling it. We have a couple of months to do it, but I thought it'd be good to start now and for it.
Yeah, we
what about our Parks and Recs coordinator, which we
let go when Monica, you know, resigned at that point, and we put it on hold because of the COVID. Is this some? Who's going to organize this? Who's going to be in charge of it?
Monica and I, I mean, everything that we've created so far, we've created all the paperwork, all the work has already been done. The most work we have to do is put the schedule together. And so I think Monica and I are both in agreement that we would just do that on a volunteer basis to make it happen. We would, like we did before, have to delegate our parks person to do the setup and the breakdown. That would be essential. But as far as organizing the registrations, we have no problem doing that.
Okay. I noticed Monica's got her hand up as well.
Monica, you can unmute yourself.
There she is.
I was just going to answer the vaccine. There's no requirements for vaccine. I'll send you the link if you want, Michelle. There's an actual breakdown for adult sports as well, and that's what Natalie was looking at.
Okay, great.
But because the vaccine's still kind of in a study phase, there's actually zero vaccine requirements across the board, even at like the hospital level and stuff.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica.
And Monica, you missed our earlier discussion of the park grant proposal where we were thanking you and Natalie for your work on the east side of town. So I just want to
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to the hello check when the walking school bus goes by my home every morning.
Yeah. My kids miss that. So we're looking forward to it too.
So
we don't need a resolution for this, do we? We could just say, yeah, go do it.
No, we do not need a resolution for that. I think a motion would be good.
I meant a motion, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, no, I think a motion would be good, and Director LaPiccolo had mentioned waivers. I have prepared a release document for another client, so I could forward that information over to Director LaPiccolo and for her review, and if modification if necessary for individuals that are wanting to participate in the softball league.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate that.
We'll be looking for a donation too, or a sponsorship.
Okay, so I'll move that, Natalie, you go ahead and pursue the summer softball league possibilities.
Thank you.
We need it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Wrightwood Community Service District Church, discussion and possible action. Three proposals here, Lori?
Yeah, I've been approached several times about having some CSD shirts. I did some research, and I included three quotes that are for 20 shirts. These would be enough for the board, the staff, and any volunteers. Now, the price may change slightly depending upon the mix of the 2, 3, and 4XL shirts if we decide to go forward, but it's not by much.
I like the idea,
but I think I'd like to wait until we have a little more money coming in.
And I also like the idea, but I would maybe entertain the idea for polos. You mentioned it's for the employees, and if it's for the board as well to go to events, public events and whatnot, I noticed that they're just kind of plain T-shirts, and I would like to see our employees a little bit more professional looking if we are purchasing that for them to wear for work duties. And I know that all of these companies sell polos as well. Just the T-shirt polos with, like, a collar and nothing too crazy, but it does look a little bit more professional all around. That would be my only recommendation.
And I don't think we need to look at the logo. I think you could just have one of the breasts portion in the front of the polo shirt, just a Wrightwood CSD in script. To me, when I first saw this, I'm looking at the logo in the back, and to me, it looks like a bullseye. I'm not sure I'd really like to be walking around with the bullseye in the back and nothing in the front.
And yeah, but I just thought Greg would see a D on it.
I went for the low-cost option.
Yeah, well, a polo, not if we're going to, because I don't know about the rest of you, but I'd never wear this shirt. So, you know,
not this color.
But a polo, I think, is more professional if we end up getting it. And I'm not opposed to waiting and see what the budget is and what we're doing.
Yeah, Lori, I would look at three other options on those polo shirts if the board.
Dark color.
How dark? Green, black, blue,
maybe gray, like a heather
gray. And white. Yeah.
Dark gray or dark blue.
Yeah. Okay.
Be no white. I already mentioned white in Wrightwood.
No white.
No white. Not in Wrightwood.
Yeah.
Lori.
Yeah.
I have a connection in San Bernardino. The police department down there. This is why I thought of the idea. We allow all of the employees to wear a polo, but it looks really professional because we have the logo on one side and then we have their last name on the other. I'm not saying we should do that, but my point to that is that the logo is actually really cheap. So once you get the logo created once, they can reprint it however many times. And so I think the logo does look a little bit more professional, but obviously we can work out the logistics when we get closer to time. But that isn't a big deal. Logo and
name or logo script.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, Ben suggested that we look at brown. Brown would be nice, too. Feels foresty.
No, brown makes me look like I've got jaundice, but that's okay.
All right, let's keep going. We still got a closed session at the end of this.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We'll save this for March, or probably let's save this for April, Lori.
Okay, I'll move it on over to April, and I'll get you some updated quotes.
Okay, solid management disposal public hearing issues. Is this Steve?
Basically, every year we need to update the resolutions for the solid waste management disposal. Prior to updating, we need to have a public meeting to discuss the issue. General Counsel Kennedy suggested that I include this topic this month so that we could have the possibly have the meeting in April.
That's correct. The board is required to readopt your resolutions establishing the solid waste disposal management fee and file it with the county by August 10 of each year. The district, because your dump cards are on a fiscal year basis, so we try and adopt them by the end of June. Your general manager had indicated she wants to send the dump cards out in mid-June, so we should adopt it adopt the resolutions prior to that. Last year, what you did was you had your public hearing in April and adopted the resolutions then. I would recommend the same approach. The question is with COVID, it does make your public hearings a little tricky in the sense that how we have to notice them is different than what we typically do, which is notice that the public hearing will take place at a particular location. It will require some rewording and some handling of some tricky language with respect to the notices that get published in the newspaper. But my recommendation is that you authorize your general manager and myself to prepare those notices so that they get published once a week for 2 weeks prior to a public hearing to be held at your regular meeting in April. And that meeting would be conducted remotely.
Okay. So can I have a motion to have Mr. Kennedy and Lori create a proposal or a resolution for the solid waste management disposal public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
I waited for you, Sadie. Now you're going to do it.
I'll get it.
Hey, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Steve and Lori. Steve, the Sunshine Ordinance. Possible discussion and possible action.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As was discussed briefly at your last meeting, there was a request to renotice sort of when your regular meeting schedule would take place, to move it from 6:30 on the first Tuesday of each month to 5:30 on the first Tuesday of each month. Since your regular meeting schedule is set by your Sunshine Ordinance, that is being brought to the board for adoption in accordance with that direction. So if you look on page 37 of the agenda materials, section 2.1 of the proposed ordinance, it mentions that the regular board meetings would be held at 5:30 on the first Tuesday of each month at the Wrightwood Community Building, located at 1275 Highway 2, Wrightwood, and or remotely in accordance with applicable legal requirements. So that's new language as well. And as you know, you're operating now under the executive order that was issued by Governor Newsom about this time last year, mid-March of last year, that allows you to have these remote meetings, despite the language in the Brown Act that does not allow you to have them in this way. President Hordijk had asked me to talk a little bit about any changes in the law. I would like to report that there are legislative enactments that are currently winding their way through the Senate and the Assembly and the California Legislature that would essentially make the ability for local public agencies to continue to conduct their meetings in this fashion, if that's something that they chose. One of those pieces of legislation is Assembly Bill 703 that has been introduced by Blanca Rubio, and I'm familiar with that because I drafted it. It's for one of my clients, and so that's currently before. It's currently been numbered, and it's going through the committee assignments right now. And there are a couple of other pieces of legislation that are also out there. There's a CSDA legislation, AB 361, which would make these requirements available to public agencies only in the event of an emergency. And there's also one that 339, I think it's AB 339, which is kind of goes the other way, which would require boards to have their meetings held remotely as well as in person. So I think AB 703, in my view, is sort of an in-between proposal, makes a choice for each district. But in any event, the language here would allow for the remote meetings to continue as long as they're in accordance with applicable legal requirements. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So, Steve, on this 2021-06, so should we wait on this until these bills get passed here through the legislation, or do we go with these ordinance?
I would go with the ordinance, though I do think probably the numbering is wrong because it's an ordinance and not a resolution. So I think it's probably 01 and not 06.
Okay.
But I would go forward with this because it does establish your regular meeting schedule at 5. Okay. As you can see, we've agendized this special meeting. So it does kind of constrict what the board can do at a special meeting. So this would allow the public to know when your regular meetings are being held and would give greater flexibility in conducting meetings with when it's a regular meeting. It does allow for the board to add items to the agenda if there's a need for immediate action that arose after the agenda was posted, but you don't have the ability to do at a special meeting. So I would go ahead and adopt this, and we could bring back, if there's any legislation that gets adopted, we can bring that back, bring this ordinance back for modification if necessary.
Okay, so on this last section 5, it says supersede ordinance 19-03. Is that something else we need to change there too? So doesn't it supersede last year's?
We did not modify last year. So the most recent version of your sunshine ordinance is this 2019-03. You note that it is cited specifically in paragraph 3 of your agenda that talks about public comment. So future agendas, if this ordinance is adopted, future agendas will have to identify this particular ordinance number in paragraph 3. But this would just supersede what was done 2 years ago, which was not the exact the most and that is the most recent version of your sunshine ordinance is from 2019.
Okay, so can I have a motion on approving this ordinance number, a correction, 2021-01?
I'm assuming. I think that staff can make sure that that's the right number.
It is the correct number.
Is somebody going to make the motion, or should I do it?
Yes,
you should
go
just
ahead.
Say so move. Leo said it all for you.
So move.
Second.
Second.
Okay.
What are we actually approving? That we're actually
the change in the meeting time.
I know the meeting time, but are we talking about meeting at the community center, or are we talking about doing Zoom still?
Both.
We would still be doing Zoom unless otherwise required by law. Right now, the executive order is still in place, so we would still be doing Zoom meetings. And then once that executive order is lifted and the Brown Act requirements are re-triggered, then we would operate either under that or any new legislation that would be adopted or enacted in between.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Oh. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. The future board meeting on April 6th, possible discussion and any possible action.
Any It'll comments? Now be a regular meeting at 5:30, right? Because we just passed the sunshine ordinance.
That's correct.
Yep.
And until something happens with the legislator or the governor, it'll be a Zoom meeting?
Yeah.
That's also correct, yeah.
Okay, once we go to the community center for meetings, whenever that happens to be, can we do a motion that says Steve still can do it from Zoom? That way it'll save us his travel time instead of coming to the thing.
That's a separate topic we could talk about.
Put it on the next agenda. How's that, Steve?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think unless it's legally prohibited, I don't see any reason why not. I think the legal requirements under the Brown Act really apply only for board members. So if the executive order is lifted, then what it would require is that a quorum of the board has to be present, physically present at the location in which the meeting is being held. And then if anyone is attending by teleconference, then where you're attending from, for each of your homes that you're at, you would have to make that open to the public that they can go into your homes and participate at the board meetings at the location in which you're at. And we would have to notice that on the agenda itself. So So those requirements that would apply are ones that apply to board members. They don't necessarily apply to your consultants. And so that would be something where we could certainly do it that way. And I don't have any problem with doing that.
Hell no. Do you know who these five board members are, Steve? We couldn't do it without you.
No, he's not saying that. He's saying he'd do it remotely like he's
doing it remotely.
He needs to be right there to slap us, so.
It's true.
All right. I don't have any future items to add aside from what's already been added tonight, Lori.
Okay.
I don't either.
No comments, no.
Nope.
And if there's any more grant stuff, if it's small enough, we'll put it on the agenda. If we need to have a further discussion, we'll have a special meeting for that.
Okay.
Okay.
I did want to let the board know I've got some protocols ready to go should the county start opening things up. Do you want a special meeting should they start doing that?
Is it really required, Steve, for us to have a – can't the general manager go ahead and move forward on the execution?
Well, I'm not exact. I mean, if the protocols are something in addition to what is what the law is, if it's an extension of what the law is and not specific to what the requirements are, then I think it's appropriate for the board to adopt it as a policy.
Okay.
And so that would be something to bring to the board. If it's just, essentially operating in accordance with the law and there isn't anything new or there isn't any extension of that particular requirement or an implementation of that requirement, then I don't know that the board needs to be involved. There wouldn't seem to me to be a policy decision that the board would need to make.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything to bring on the agenda for next on April 6th? Okay. Director's comments. Michelle?
Thanks to everybody for their work.
Chuck?
Ditto.
Steve, thank you for your good humor.
Always. I enjoy working for this district, so thank you.
Yeah, keeping us in line.
I got to say, the best visual tonight has been Vicky. Vicky, I think you are now wrapped in a bank blanket at the beach.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Sadie, any comments?
Just one. I know Leo and I, we talked earlier about maybe me helping out with social media and the website and whatnot. So I was just going to publicly say that I'm willing to help and would love to do that. I know we have a huge active community on Facebook here in Wrightwood, and I think just pushing the posts from the CSD out to them and whatnot will really help with visibility. So I don't know if that's just something I can volunteer or if we need to do or what. I don't know how to go about that.
You just
volunteer.
Yeah, volunteer and then meet up with Lori, and I've provided a couple of suggestions for her as well. So.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks for doing that, Sadie.
I'll get with you.
Natalie, did I hear that? Yep.
I just said ditto to Michelle. Thank you to everybody for everything.
I just want to thank everybody, but I also want to thank many of our community residents. I know my wife and I and a couple others got together, and we picked up trash along Highway 2. And it was really nice to see the trash dumpsters close by. We picked up about a dozen bags, and it was unbelievable what we picked up. But we spent 2 or 3 hours there, and it was just an eye-opening experience. If you guys haven't done it, I would encourage the board to do that. I was out there, and lo and behold, out in the fields, very far out there, was Brett from CRNR. And he was out there picking up trash. And there was a couple other guys that were doing it. And they they were there for, much longer than we were. And so we talked at the trash can there on Highway 2, and it was just unbelievable, the support. And every time I drive up and down Highway 2, there's more and more of the locals care about this community, and they're out there picking up trash. And we did this about three weeks ago. And it was just a, if anything, it was a great exercise, right, to get out of the house and do something. And it really felt good. So I just want to, first of all, thank all the residents that are doing it. I want to thank Brett, because I got those pictures from him very quickly from Brett, and I forwarded them over to Vicky, and Vicky created that article in which the dumpster of the oil and the motor, it was just, I just can't believe it. Brett wasn't on the call tonight, but over the years he's had multiple situations with couches and everything else that get dumped along that. So he pulled them that same day he sent me those pictures. So when the snow does fly, he committed that he'll put those trash bins back. It was just very, very disappointing to see what he and his guys and his company's got to go through to clean up all that oil on the front page of Mountain Air Progress. I want to get to that trash truck. So I just, again, I just want to bring light to it, and thank you for the Mountain Air Progress to write a nice article about it. But it's just, I mean, we're better than that. But I just really appreciate all the people that I've seen along the highway picking up bags and bags and bags of trash.
But, yeah, Brett is a good man, and I think Randy from Property Owners has got his hand up.
Yeah, I just want to say that's great. I did want to let you know that the Wrightwood Property Owners runs the Adopt a Highway program for the Highway 2 piece of this puzzle, too. And we published in our newsletter the regular pickup days for anybody that's interested. That's
great.
Thank you.
That's all I've got to say.
I have one more comment real quick. I'm so excited about the bridge, the Lone Pine Bridge, that it's open. That whole road is open. I just want to say I'm excited. I live on the east side, so it took a lot longer to get into town. So.
Okay. We'll close with the public meeting, and we'll go into a closed session. I guess I'll have to figure out how to do this.
Leo, so I think you can ask everyone who is not part of the board and Steve to leave the meeting and then try and get back on immediately, and you can keep them in the waiting room. That way, when we're done at closed session, you can just let them back in from the waiting room.
Okay. Can we do that, folks out there, the public? In session, there's nothing to report on the closed session. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Leo.
Hey, I'm so glad we did the